taking some time.
Like, yeah. I mean, I never have a firm schedule in mind as to how stuff should go, but I will say I figured we'd be further along than this by now.
Had some conversations, you know?
Yeah. Glad that Janina stopped by long enough to watch the end of Nier.
Oh, was she here?
Yeah.
Shit, I didn't see her.
Yeah.
Damn it. That's right, yeah. I guess she was in the office for...
Yeah, there's...
For a GameSpot thing.
GameSpot thing, yeah.
But I did not put two and two together that she had, like, stopped by our pit or had seen anyone.
Yeah.
Cyber Kayon asking which end of Nier, no, which end of Nier, the end.
Yeah. You're right. I guess those categories did just take a long time. Like, yeah, I'm trying to think. Like, in my mind, it's like, man, we should have got going a little bit earlier than we did. But now that I think about it, that might have been half an hour or something.
Yeah, it was like half an hour to 40 minutes that we started later.
Maybe, like, you know, doing that. And also, that was, I think, vital for the rest of the discussions for some folks to see that stuff.
Totally. And also, I think it was good that we had a break between recording the Beastcast and doing that, because I think I would have tired out a lot sooner had we not gotten lunch.
Yeah, like, so I had to record my fucking radio thing.
Right.
Which was, like, hours late. Because normally I record it Thursday mornings before I leave home and send it in. But I recorded it after the Beastcast, so then it was like I was trying to get lunch and get that thing done. I just went to the shitty vending machine in the building and got some kind of breakfast burrito out of it. It's better than I thought it would be.
I mean, if I know you, you are not averse to shitty breakfast burritos.
No, that's my fucking... It's my mode and modus.
Did someone check in with Jeff Bacalar, asked Sarah?
Who?
I don't know. That's the thing. Like, I don't know what's going on over there with him. I feel like by the time we get back, we're going to find a bunch of elaborate traps set around the office for the fucking wet bandits.
Yeah.
Poor boy's losing his mind over there.
Are they having their holiday party tonight, too, or out there, or is it different?
I have no idea.
I feel like usually they stagger a little bit so that, like, the heads of the company can go to all the parties or whatever, make an appearance at all of them. I don't know how that goes.
Yeah.
I feel like that's how a lot of other companies do it.
Generally, when I get emails for holiday party, I do not open them.
Yeah.
I'm that asshole.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I hadn't seen, like, people, like, dressed up to go to... Like, there was a moment where people were, like... putting on fucking suits or something, and I saw multiple. I was like, what, is there a fucking wedding in the office thing? What the fuck is going on? I realized, like, oh, that fucking thing's tonight.
It's a funeral for you.
Oh, thank fucking God. I sent my piece about the video games of 2017. You can bury me now.
Bury me with my Steam World Dig 2.
Not enough people making that noise in rap these days. Not a lot of hurrah!
It's a good sound. Water pump at my parents' place is broken, so they do not have any water pressure at the moment.
Alright, yes.
It's unfortunate.
Seems like something you would need.
Yeah. We're hoping it'll be fixed tomorrow, so we'll see. Jay-Z GA saying, I can't believe WWE let go of Jim Johnston.
Yeah, I heard.
It's not that I can't believe they let go of Jim Johnston. I just can't believe they waited this long if they were going to ever do it. Like, if they were going to shift away from him being their in-house composer, I feel like they would have done that a long time ago.
Well, was he, like, my understanding was that he was, like, still managing the process, even if he wasn't coming up with the music himself, right?
Right.
Like, that he was still,
yeah, he was still overseeing things, yeah. I think. I mean, whatever, he'll get his Hall of Fame induction at some point, and,
yeah,
you know, he, maybe he'll just retire at this point. He's been there so long.
Mm-hmm. Stuff like that just seems like the cuts the company is making are just getting deeper and deeper.
Well, you know, I mean, they're going to have to pay Ronda Rousey a whole lot of fucking money to wrestle for them.
I feel like that's a cost that you can associate with WrestleMania and justify with, given the amount of money WrestleMania typically takes in.
Right.
It's more, it seems like more like just the day-to-day costs, you know, like the, or at least that's where the cuts are coming from, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's this sort of stuff with kind of long-standing employees, but then there's just, like, what, they cut back on pyro and, you know, episodes of shows that they, or, you know, it seems like they cut back on some of the original programming for the network a little bit.
Yeah. Making the salient point in here that he does have stage fright, so there's not, like, a lot of forward-facing stuff Jim Johnston can really ever do.
Yeah.
Still. That dude is as important to the WWE legacy as just about anybody.
Right, but, you know, like, the number of other people they have cut.
Right.
That you could make that claim about. Like, sure. You know, like, maybe his time had come and they weren't. I'm sure he has been there long enough that they were paying him a whole lot of money.
Yeah.
And if he's not the guy making the music anymore,
you can just hire a music supervisor.
Yeah.
For probably a lot less than they were paying him for his legacy salary.
Or like the CFO, you know, like the team that's actually making most of the music now. They know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you don't need a person in a supervisory position internally.
That dude had range, man.
Oh, yeah. Maybe they're just, going back to Jimmy Hart for a lot of stuff.
I mean, that would be the smart move.
Yeah.
Just everybody comes out to fucking the NWO theme now.
Yep.
Everyone has the same theme song, and it's that.
It's either that or the Harlem Heat music.
Yes.
It's just a royalty-free song. Kids in the Hall sketch.
For that Harlem Heat thing just shows up.
Yep.
Fucking Francesca Fiore.
Yep.
Power.
It's so good.
It's one of my favorite super short sketches they have.
but like due in no small part to it being the Harlem Heat.
Yes. Music, like. Power. I feel like every time I'm out here, one of these stations plays top billing at least once.
Yeah. It gets a lot of play on this throwback station for sure. Like, maybe a little too much.
I mean, look, I love Top Billin' as much as the next guy, but there's a lot of classic hip-hop you'd be pulling from.
Well, they, you know, it's the thing about satellite radio is that, you know, they've got these genre stations, these time frame stations, where they've got access to just tons and tons of music, but they still program it like a radio station. Like, they still have playlists, and they still have stuff that they cycle in and out of rotation.
Right.
In a way that's, like, frustrating, because you're like, man, it's you're just playing Self-Destruction again, huh? Like, don't get me wrong, I like it, but I've heard it three times this week. Just hit shuffle on the full catalog and walk away.
Gesundheit.
Thank you.
Thursday, right?
It is.
All right. I plug my phone in for a bit.
No, go for it. My phone's not plugged in if you just want to take that one.
You've got pretty good battery on the iPad for right now. I'll plug it back in a few.
Being like, fuck it, down here now.
Phone's had enough this year.
God, this year keeps happening.
I know, it won't stop.
I like the DOC, but not really.
Not in the mood.
Looking to hear the formula right now.
Sure. Is he the guy who rolled his Jeep and fucked up his voice?
Yeah.
Okay. Ah, Skrillex.
My man.
Benny Benassi.
My other man. My other... Also my man.
You have several mans.
It's my mans and them. Song's on the Cuphead soundtrack, right?
Yeah. The song is on a video game soundtrack. I don't remember what it is, though. It's probably some sports game. I don't fucking know. Or yeah, driving game.
Yeah, like what other games have licensed soundtracks?
It actually
right
might
now.
Have been Forza Horizon 3? One of the Forza Horizons?
Could have been.
Something like that?
Yeah.
There's definitely a lot of weird electronic stuff in Horizon 3.
It's pretty underwhelmed with the Horizon 3 soundtrack.
Yeah, and there were a few good songs, yeah. But it wasn't anything special. I wish they had a better music supervisor for those games. It really does feel like they just kind of throw a lot of shit together.
Yeah, there's like that, and then they just go and do a deal with a record label and say, "What do you got? Get the hospital records. Here's what we got."
Yeah.
And some of that's just fine. It's just, yeah.
This is not anything special.
Horizon 3 was...
It was a good game. I enjoyed playing it.
It's a good game, kind of a bummer.
Yeah.
Largely a good game, but it felt like it should be the end of... I hope that they make dramatic changes for the next Horizon.
Yeah.
That's a two-team studio now. They've got a... They just expanded to another...
Playground?
Playground, yeah. Huh. They're working on an action RPG, apparently.
Really?
Yeah. Weird.
Now, are they owned by Microsoft, or are they just contracted by Microsoft?
Yeah,
okay.
I wouldn't be surprised if that relationship leads to whatever their other game is, ends up being, like, published by Microsoft. Like,
right.
I would not be shocked to see that relationship continue.
But yeah, I'm with you. I think, you know, as fun as those open driving worlds can be and what they've done with them, I think they kind of maybe reached the upper limit of, like, what that specific design is capable of.
Yeah, it was, you know, this... I would love to see them continue to make an open-world driving game.
Yeah.
I think that the event structure and the showcase event thing, I think they need to just scrap all that stuff.
Yeah.
Or a lot of it. 3 was definitely, like, there were some of the things they were asking you to do in that game in terms of, like, number of times you'd race a certain track or a certain
totally.
Route.
Yeah.
It was just like,
it was padding.
Like, come on.
We need more custom soundtrack options because fuck anyone else's taste. I kind of agree. Like, one of the things that kind of bums me out is that, like, for all the, like, app support that has been built into these consoles and stuff, like, nothing utilizes, like, Spotify or fucking any of that other shit in a way that's, like, other than just, like, built in the OS of the systems. But, like, imagine if, like, you could make a playlist in Spotify that was just all music you wanted to use as, like, custom themes for a wrestler in WWE 2K, or as, like, a driving playlist and shit like that.
Yeah.
It was built into the game.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's fair that you don't expect a lot of people to actually transfer MP3s to their fucking console hard drives anymore, but...
Well, like Horizon had just straight up like Microsoft OneDrive support.
Yeah.
For your MP3s in the cloud or whatever.
That also expects people to use Microsoft's music stuff at all.
Yeah, it was like Groove. Well, Groove Music got shut down, I think.
Yeah.
So I don't know what they do from here. Or I don't know what Motorsport 7 had. Like, if it had just that same stuff, or...
Like, I signed up for that trial, and I was just like, whatever. You know, like, I didn't even feel inspired to, like, go looking through
exactly.
it to try and add
yeah.
music
yeah,
to that thing.
Yeah, it was just like, I'm not part of this ecosystem. I have better things to do with my time than fucking... figure out how to add the music I specifically want for this specific game and have it not work anywhere else in any other game. So it's not a great solution.
Yeah.
Also, the act of popping up fucking free trial options for their music service in the middle of their driving game was pretty,
yeah.
Pretty rich. Motorsports doesn't have a lot of music.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a lot of licensed music. Like, it's not... Maybe it's just not that kind of game, and that's what it is. But, like, Horizon just is the fun game in all ways, I guess. I don't know.
And, yeah, it's just, like, you know, for a game that is so much about just, like, you know, driving your way and customizing things your way, like...
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if they did a deal with a more major streaming service... that people were likely to use, then you could start doing like, oh, well, here's a playlist someone made specifically for this game, and now you can share it, rate it, just like with a, you know, just like with vinyls and tuning and all that other stuff.
Yeah.
That would be a neat addition. You got the hottest mixtape in the game, kid. Literally.
Hell yeah.
Shit, write that down.
Alright.
Don't actually write that down.
No, I'm writing it down.
Okay. I think if game consoles, like, gravitated towards one specific music service for features like that, that would be enough to push me from one to the other.
Yeah. There you go. You got the hottest game mixtape in the game, kid.
Great.
Written down.
Great, thanks.
I'm just going to text that to you on a semi-frequent basis.
Okay.
So you don't forget.
Just write it to me on Twitter every few days. Be very uplifting for me.
Yeah, it'll be a nice compliment to all the minion shit that you send me.
Yeah. You know, I find myself at a Halloween store, and you know where they've got minion shit? Everywhere. But you know where they have a lot of it?
Mm.
A Halloween store.
Yeah, I can see that.
I'm frankly kind of fucking flabbergasted by how much Minions shit there is out
it's
there still.
It's very popular.
It's very scary to me that that's... It's a problem.
It is. I also like that the whole thing with you and everyone sending me Minion shit is... all tied back to a fucking loose tweet that I threw out there from my fucking drafts.
Yeah.
About, hey, is anyone taking on the persona of the minion fucker yet? Because I could be that. Like, it wasn't even a good joke. And suddenly that just became my life.
Yeah, I completely forgot how that even got started.
Yeah. So, that is my lesson to all of you out there is, be careful what you post on social media because it can ruin your life.
Yeah, it's there forever.
I girlfriend actually does like the Minions. Huh. I mean, not to any, like, insane degree, but she finds the Minion stuff funny.
So to an insane degree, then?
Yeah. I don't know. It's just slapstick.
Yeah, sure. I think Jason likes it also. Or at least his son does.
Yeah.
So,
and you know,
proxy.
I think for him, anything that he can tolerate in the children's programming world becomes something that he is okay with.
Yeah, I'm sure that's got to be how it goes. There are no rabbits.
I mean, what is?
Minions, kinda.
Yeah.
But not.
But they came before.
Yeah.
They're the proto minions. But yes, I would never have foreseen the way they exploded, having watched just, you know, the original Despicable Me or whatever. Like, it's like, yeah, all right, this seems like a cute, dumb thing that kids will latch onto to some degree, but little did I know.
Damn. And now you're the number one Minions fan in America.
I am.
If not the world.
It's true.
With us to see House of Pain live?
No, I did not go to that. When was that?
I don't even remember.
It was kind of
a little bit past the point when you would have gone to see House of Pain live.
Right. Well, like, you and I met in, what, 94? 95? Somewhere around there?
Yeah, somewhere around there. I mean, Headboard started in late 95.
And I think the first time I met you was when I went to that Snapjammers taping.
Right. Okay, yeah.
Which was probably about a year before I found my way into anything remotely related to Headboard.
Yeah.
96 is when we did Live Band, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah. So my guess is that was probably in, like, early 95.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds about right.
So for it to be a little bit past the House of Pain point, it would have to be somewhere around there.
Yeah. It might have just been me and Glenn, but I feel like there was someone else there.
Maybe Brendan?
Yeah, maybe Brendan. Seems likely. Maybe that show was House of Pain opening for ICP.
I definitely went to an ICP show, but I don't think you went to that one.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Yeah, I think that was me, Glenn, and Brendan that went to that show.
Okay.
The second time they had seen them since they saw them in Detroit.
Mm. That's right, they did see them in Detroit on that road trip, right?
Yeah, the Hollow Wicked show. Still that bottle of Faygo we stole from the Faygo trunk when they were supposed to play in Petaluma.
That show.
That non-show.
Yeah.
Remember, Tom was so pissed.
That was by far the angriest I ever saw him. I don't blame him.
Yeah.
I mean, it was definitely not a great crowd for that show, there was still, like, you know, 200 or 300 people there, which is nothing for where ICP was at that point.
And for, like, this part of the country.
Yeah, they don't tour. Like, yeah. They've never been to that, like, that area before.
I don't know that they've come back here since, I'm not paying attention.
They certainly never played in the North Bay, as far as I'm aware, but, yeah.
Fucking cowards.
Yeah.
Just stormed the bus and fucked him up for refusing to play the show.
Yeah. And he trotted out that fucking, oh, one's not feeling well fucking thing. It's like, fuck off.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, because Tom was back there, and there were definitely, like, they were kept asking questions, like, how many people are here? How many tickets did you sell? Like, leading up to them saying, we're not feeling well. There was definitely a ton of inquiries about the crowd. I want to say, that, I mean, was it Tom that got up and announced that they were not going to play the show?
Yes.
I believe he threw them fucking, like, he fucking went in on them right there.
Yes, he did. Yeah, he had absolutely zero patience for that bullshit.
Yeah.
He was like, yeah, and I believe he used air quotes when specifically saying they were not feeling well.
Yeah.
I think that's the only time I've been to a Phoenix show where a band just straight up refused to play. Like, whatever, that fucking rental show where, like, 50 people showed up. They played. You know, that They Might Be Giants
right.
show.
Yeah.
Where nobody showed up during the middle of the week to see They Might Be Giants. Like, they played.
Yeah. Those were good shows.
Yeah. And, like, you know, the crowd was small, but they were into it. And I think that would have been the same with the ICP. It's like, yeah, it wasn't a full room by any stretch, but I think the people there would have been into it.
Maybe I didn't actually go to that They Might Be Giants show.
I'm like 99% sure I did. I'm pretty sure I remember watching them play.
I feel like they would have played in San Francisco, like, you know, days before that, and I might have just seen that show.
Yeah. I definitely did not see them in San Francisco. And knowing that I have seen They Might Be Giants exactly once, I think I had to have been that show.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's not like twice. Maybe three times. Glenn and I interviewed John Flansburg before they played.
How was he?
Kind. To our, you know, like, 16, 17-year-old stupid shit.
Fanboy questions.
Yeah.
What was the best or at least weirdest, like, empty fucking Phoenix show you remember being at or seeing?
I don't know. I
can tell you what the weirdest one for me was, and that was Matt Sharp playing solo.
Oh, wow. Huh.
I don't remember who the headliner for that show was. It wasn't him.
It wasn't him. Okay.
He was playing support.
Yeah.
And it was him on an acoustic guitar while this, like, bad video screen was behind him, and it was, like, playing, like, a slideshow of weird photos.
Yeah.
mostly of some woman.
Okay.
And it was just him singing, like, solo acoustic. And he looked pained the entire time. And he never spoke to the audience, as far as I can recall. Like, I think he just kept playing songs and then just kind of quietly walked off stage.
Yeah.
And there was maybe 20 people there.
Yeah. Like a really weird, I mean, it seemed like a really weird venue back then, where like people came out for local bands.
Yeah.
And the touring acts didn't always do real well, especially midweek, which,
yeah,
which is the only night you would get them.
Yeah, like 2/3 of the time it would be like a Monday or a Thursday show or something, and yeah, the crowds were always terrible for that shit.
Yeah, like people didn't want to pay the money to see touring bands.
But when you would get a weekend show, that always sold out.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when fucking No Doubt came through, or Sublime, fucking, even when, like, Slayer came through, like, and when those were weekend shows, like, they fucking, they cleaned up. I remember, and some, occasionally the weekday ones, like, Crystal Method came through,
yep,
as a midweek week show.
That sold out.
That sold out.
I was in the balcony for that show.
Yeah.
That was a weird show.
It was like
the first night of their tour or something,
yes,
so they were, like, tuning up, or they were kind of working out the kinks a little bit.
Yeah, like, their banter was really bad, but, like, in kind of an endearing way.
Yeah.
And you could tell that, like, they had no idea what they were going to say between songs. They were just, like, trying to pump up the crowd. It was very awkward. But, you know, they played well, and
yeah,
it was a fun show.
Yeah.
I remember Ryan being just fucking over the moon during that thing. And, God.
Yeah, I feel like it was, like, me and Marie up in the balcony the whole time.
I was up in the balcony up there too for,
yeah,
a while, and then I went down to the floor.
But like, they would put local openers on these shows, like when, you know, Skillet opened for the Rentals or whatever.
Yeah, and like when we opened for Run DMC and shit like that.
Yeah. But even that wouldn't, you know, the local bands wouldn't draw because the ticket prices were, well, the ticket prices were higher, B, they were actually making sure people bought tickets.
Right.
Which, when it was just whoever, local whatevers, then
yeah,
you just walk in. Like, even if you really liked Skillet, you'd be like, well, I mean, I'll just come see them next week for no money.
Right.
Instead of paying money to see the Rentals.
Because they play this venue every 4 to 6 weeks.
Right.
Yeah, like, the booking there always felt like this bizarre push-pull between, like, Tom's, you know, staunch interest in local bands and local scene,
yeah,
and but also like his realization that, like, yes, we do have to have major bands come through here.
Right.
It was like Glenn, it was like someone else doing splitting like the booking of the more major stuff, right?
I think it was just Glenn for a while.
Yeah, it was just Glenn for a while, but then
like he booked the Rentals and They Might Be Giants and they didn't draw shit.
Yeah.
And they lost a bunch of money on those shows, I think.
They did. Yeah, their guarantee was, like, way higher than what they ended up selling.
Yeah. I specifically remember paying to see the Rentals, even though I wouldn't have had to, because I was like, man, I feel pretty fucking bad about,
yeah,
the amount of money this place is about to lose.
Yeah, I did the same thing for that and They Might Be Giants.
I don't think I paid for Crystal Method, though.
No, yeah, that one I think I got in. I got in for free for all the Sublime shows too, because that was when I was like periodically working the snack bar and,
yeah,
and also doing occasional like security there.
Yeah.
I remember the Sublime one where I was working the counter because Wesley Willis was on that show.
Oh, right, yeah.
And he
just
came up
around headbutting everybody.
Well, so yeah, he came up to the counter and started asking me about the Mystic. Like, what the deal with that venue was, and if it was nice, and all that other kind of shit. And I was like, oh, yeah, no, it's cool, you know, it's a different vibe, different bands, whatever. And he's just like, all right, all right. I want to thank you for your time. And then he kind of grabbed me by the head and gave me a very light headbutt. And I didn't know who Wesley Willis was or what was going on there.
Yeah, yeah.
But, wait, he was gentle.
Yeah,
he was
nice. Yeah. Still.
Yes.
That's a lot.
It was. It was just a little disquieting in the moment. But afterwards, I was like, all right, that was kind of cool, I guess. But hey, I can say I was headbutted by Wesley Willis, so I can't be mad.
Right.
What was the show where I got into the fight in front of the building? It was some big band. I can't remember what it was. I was working security that night. Oh, I can't remember. But some fight broke out in front. A bunch of us were, like, pulling people off of people. And then some dude just turned around and fucking decked me in the face full on.
Yeah.
And I didn't, like, it was so startling that all I did was just stare at him. Like, I didn't react even, really, because it was a pretty weak fucking punch. I was just like, did you just fucking do that? And then one of the other guys just fucking just straight up tackled him into the fucking post. So it's, like, right out in front. I didn't have to do shit. I didn't even get into the fight. I was just there. Yeah. I was like, what the fuck did you just do?
Dumbass. I remember walking into Guar shows, like, midway through, and there not being a ton of people there. Because it seemed like Guar played there, like, somewhat frequently.
Guar played there probably, like, 4 times while I was living in Petaluma, and I think I went to all those shows.
Yeah. I remember going to one, and there just being, like, no one there.
Yeah.
And just, like, standing in the back of Guar. Like, it was the first Guar show I'd ever seen. I remember standing in the back, watching Guar going, huh, so this is what Guar is, huh? All right. Okay. Sure. It's no Schizo, but what are you going to do?
I mean, yeah. Look, not every band has a member that can vomit on command.
Would he vomit into the leaf blower at shows?
I never saw him do that. So if he did that, that was not in any of the Schizo shows I went to. The only ones I ever saw was either him vomiting on the stage or him vomiting on some woman.
Okay.
Who seemed into it.
All right. Not gonna kink shame.
Yeah. Schizo was not a very good band.
Weird.
But Lance Schizo, as a performance artist, well, there's something there.
Memorable, let's say. I guess Jack moved back.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I've seen him. He was in L.A., right?
Yeah. He was in L.A. He was a session musician. Like, he was on The Tonight Show backing somebody up that he was touring with at the time. Like, some fairly major artist, I think.
Huh.
Yeah, I think he was playing drums on The Tonight Show not that long ago.
That's fucking crazy. Have you seen him in a role? Talk to him?
No, I haven't seen him around, no. I think he's got a kid.
Huh. Yeah. I always like Jack.
Yeah. But yeah, I just see him, like, he's got a band going, they're playing shows around, some jazz stuff.
That's cool. Yeah, he was, like, that dude was an insanely talented jazz drummer.
Yeah, after he moved in, like, he started playing guitar and just picked it up fucking instantly.
Yeah, that's
in a really scary way.
Like, he's definitely one of those dudes that just, like, is so musically minded that it feels like he can just, like Logan, you know, like,
right, dude,
if he set his mind to it, he could learn just about anything. I believe this year was the 10-year anniversary of Logan passing.
Yeah.
I was, It was 2006, or was it 2006?
Yeah, I think it was 2006.
Okay, oh, that's right.
I remember we found out at E3.
The memorial concert, I think, was in maybe in 07, like early 07. I don't know. But I went looking for that recently, and the whole thing is up on YouTube.
Oh, cool.
So if you want to see video evidence of me playing drums for Dr. Demento, that's up there.
Oh, right.
Yeah, we did Lizard and Fish.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah. With no rehearsal.
Yeah.
It was me and some other guy on keyboard who I'd never met.
I guess Neil's back in the area. He's playing around a little bit, too.
Neil?
Carson.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah.
Is everyone just coming home?
I guess. That was the band I wish we had gotten off the ground.
Wait, which one?
The Suburban All-Stars with a live band. I wish that that had happened.
That would have required, I think, a level of organization that the Suburban All-Stars was just never meant for.
Totally.
But yeah, like, the times we played around with that, like, it was pretty fucking good.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Man, I haven't thought about fucking Neil Carson in a goddamn long time.
Yeah.
I think I knew his sister. I think his sister was in my high school class. Hillary?
Yeah, Hillary. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say Brooke might be a little older.
Yeah, no, Hillary was in my junior high and high school classes.
Yeah. Brooke was at one point, I don't think it's anymore, but she was married to, like, the drummer from Block Party.
Oh. That is a fascinating way that could have gone. Do you ever run into or see Rob anymore?
Not since Brendan's thing.
Okay. But he's still in the area?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. He lives on the east side. He looks like a dad.
Yeah. I mean, he is one.
Yep.
Yeah, when I was digging around for that Logan Winter stuff, I also dug up the fucking Headboard reunion show. I forgot that Rob came out for pull.
Yep. Yeah, right. Yeah, I am occasionally on some group texts with Rob.
Right.
That are exactly how you think they would be.
It's
exactly how, exactly how they always have been, yeah. Let's say.
Rob is a man of unique tastes.
Yeah, Bobby C is still Bobby C. Lyle Rowdy Western is still Lyle Rowdy Western.
That's good to know. You know, of all the people I want to freeze in time, I think Rob is maybe one of them.
Yeah.
There were definitely days when I wanted to punch Rob in the fucking face, but I always respected his dedication to the bit.
Yeah.
Like the time he spent the better part of a week trying to convince everyone he had gotten a shamrock tattooed on his dick.
Right.
By repeatedly putting fake fucking shamrock tattoos on his dick and saying, nah, I got that. And then at some point, because he showed his dick so often, he finally had to let it be known that he did not actually have a shamrock of a tattoo on his dick.
Boy, you hate it when it comes to that.
Yeah. You hate to see the mask pulled back.
I know. This will sound meaner than it should. I don't mean it in a mean way.
Sure.
But I think of Rob every time Kid Rock comes up.
Sure. No, totally. Like, you tone the racism down by, like, 50%?
Uh-huh.
Sure. Conk Diesel and fucking Kid Rock are of a kind.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I mean mean that in the way that, like, I always thought of that dude as, like, man, if, you know, with a little honing and, a slightly better band behind you, this could be the biggest thing in the world. We could make this work at a national level.
I had my chance to join You Know My Name. I turned it down. That was late in the cycle of You Know My Name.
You
like,
been like, what, the fifth drummer? Like, were you really something replacing like, Cody?
I don't remember which drummer they were on at that point. It might have been like the second or third time Nate was in it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I got this very cryptic call from him being like, you know, like, just talking about the band.
Yep, yeah, okay.
And just talking about, like, what his vision was for it with, like, completely unprompted. And then just kind of at the end, he was like, so what do you think? I was like, I don't know, that all sounds great. He's like, yeah, all right, well, I don't know, you wanna maybe, like, meet up and talk about it sometime? Whatever. And then I realized what he was trying to do.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, right now I'm just not looking to play, I'm not really looking to do anything, and I wasn't at that point. Right, I absolutely was not. But yeah, it was just...
I had a lot of fun not being in that band, but performing with that band.
Yes, having that song you could come up and do stuff with.
Yeah, doing that, and then, like, the shows that Nate wouldn't show up for, like, I had written some of his lyrics anyway, so I could just come up and do those.
Right.
Like, there was one show at fucking Jesse Jean's in the middle of, like, Rob's fucking full-on fuck emo shit, which was also right in the middle of everyone going to any show being very into emo.
Yes.
Where we just fucking got in a fight with the crowd over that.
Yeah, I can see it.
And, like, it led to... It was, like, Nick playing one of those Jammer Lammy guitars. Actually, I think I brought them both out. And Nick and Neil were playing those fucking guitars. And... Like, we just fucking stretched a song out, like, 20 minutes. And like, by the end of it, we were both laying on the floor, screaming about emo and how we were fish. And just, like, it just fucking, it went fucking places.
Oh,
it was fun as shit. It was stupid.
Oh, that's good.
But,
That was another thing I admired about Rob, was that he hated just about any scene that was going at any given moment and was not afraid to just fight them.
Yeah. It was really fucking fun.
That's great.
And it was like it was Valentine's Day also. It was a fucking Valentine's Day show at Jesse Jean's.
Oh, Jesse Jean's. Fuck, I forgot that venue even existed.
That was the night that he hooked up with that girl who then would later claim to have hooked up with me. And her roommate found me at a bar and said, "You're with the, what's it, you were seeing?" And I was like, "Fucking fuck no, I was not."
Wow.
Holy shit, no. And she was like, "No, it's okay. You can tell me." I'm like, "No, let me get this straight with you.
I think I remember
that did not go down.
I remember the intensity with which you were upset about that."
Oh.
All right. Well, we're back, and we are gonna say goodnight.
Yeah.
We will return tomorrow.
Everybody, have a good night.